place was white as snow and pure as finest gold. It had the look of new, it had the look of old. I felt like I was home, but felt so far away. In fear I thought to leave, but felt the urge to stay. And then a silence fell, like none I'd ever known. I stood among the millions, I stood there all alone. His face was like the sun, his eyes were like the sea, his voice was like the thunder rolling through eternity. And I saw the Lord, he was high and lifted up, and rightfully adored. I saw the Lord, and he then from sleep awakened, I looked into the night, the darkness overtaken by bright and shining light. I couldn't understand it, I couldn't reason how, but then my eyes beheld him. I wasn't dreaming now, and I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and rightfully adored, and I saw.
Pray together. Father, thank you so much. We look so forward to that day, that soon coming day, when face to face we will see the Lord, and He will see us. Our faith will be made sight, where we shall dwell in the eternity of eternities. We praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Kent, thank you so much for that. And Nancy and choir, thank you all. Praise team and praise band, appreciate all of that. Good worship this morning. Turn in your Bibles, will you please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and get your listening sheet. Got a lot of material there, as you see, that I want to share with you over the next few minutes. And this is beginning the first of three sermons, not really a series, although you obviously will be able to connect the dots over the next 3 weeks regarding these messages. Messages about the end times. This morning's message is entitled, As in the Days of Noah. Next Sunday, the Lord willing, we'll share also from Matthew chapter 24, earlier in the chapter, and a message entitled, The Beginning of Sorrows, where they ask Jesus, well, what's going to be the sign of your coming and of your return, and what's going to be the sign of the end of the world? So we'll talk about that next Sunday. And then the following Sunday, a message from Matthew chapter 16 entitled, It Looks Like Rain. And that in that message, I hope to give you, let's say, 10 of the most prevalent signs of the times. And there are many, many of them that we could highlight, but I'll share, among other things, I'll give you 10 of the most prevalent signs of the times that we're in, the end times, right now. And these are things that are as up-to-date as your morning newspaper. So that's what we'll share over the next 3 weeks, the Lord willing. So get your listening sheet ready and turn in your Bibles. We're going to give you many passages today. Some we'll see on the screen, and many of them are written there for you on your listening sheet. And then a few that I'll just share with you, and you can write them down, because it will behoove you to do your own study regarding this message today as well. I heard about a farmer who tucked his kids in bed one night and kissed his wife goodnight. He sat up to watch the evening news and then to watch a late show. And then he went to bed and hadn't been in bed very long till the old grandfather clock in the hallway began to chime. And he lay there and he counted the number of times that it chimed, and as he counted, the old clock struck 13. And immediately the farmer jumped out of bed, shook his wife, started running down the hall, yelling for his kids, saying, "Get up! Get up! It's later than it's ever been before." Well, I can say to you with certainty, that's the biblical message today. That is the message that I want to share with you over the next few minutes. With certainty, I'm saying to you today, get up. Get up. It's later than it's ever been before. Now let's look at our passage, Matthew chapter 24. The title of our message is As in the Days of Noah. Let's look at verses 37 and 38. Verse 37 of Matthew chapter 24 says, But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. All right, now let me give you these four things on your listening sheet. Here's number one, and that is the prophecy revealed. On this point, I just want to give you some other scriptures which should claim our focus of attention in order to understand what Jesus is indicating here in Matthew chapter 24. So let's look at a synoptic passage over in Luke chapter 17, verses 26 and 27. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. I'll elaborate more on these passages as we go throughout the message today. All right, here's 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, now follow this passage, folks, because it's a very alarming passage. It could be a threatening or a scary passage for us, so read it carefully. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, and yet how many of us think, oh, listen, hey, we got a loving God. Well, we do. We do. I won't deny that. But let me tell you something. There are people who are suffering under the delusion, listen, we've got a loving God. He won't send anyone to hell. He certainly won't send me to hell. Now, God's not the one that sends people to hell, my friend. You choose that of your own volition. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world. How many in the ancient world? Well, everybody except Noah and his family, 8 people. But saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. You ever feel like that when you're watching the evening news? For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Reread that passage this week. And then Genesis chapter 6, I believe that's what we're ready for, verses 5 through 11. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All right, additional prophecies, additional part of what we're looking at this morning. Here's number two, the panorama returns. The panorama returns. Now, as it was, so shall it be. That's what we've read this morning. As it was, so shall it be. Let me say the first part, you say the second part. As it was, as it was, as it was. Okay. I mean, that's what he's saying. That's what God's telling us this morning. As it was. So let me show you some frightening parallels which are blatantly portrayed by our culture today. These are in-your-face scenarios in which you would have to be blind not to see. Now, here are several factors of Noah's days compared to nowadays. And I'm just going to be able to list these with extremely little time for commentary. So, again, I would encourage you to take these 12 things that I've identified for you. You don't even have to fill in the blank here. Just follow with me with these 12 things that I have identified for you on your listening sheet. And I also give you some passages of Scripture next to every one of these 12. And I would once again encourage you to do your own study. And partially, and I'll identify for you when we get to these different points, partially it has to do with you understanding the culture of the day. With the passage that I'm going to give you, it may be that you need to look up a particular person in that particular chapter. I'll identify those for you in order for you to understand what I'm pointing out to you about these 12. Is that what I've got for you? Yes, 12 different things about the panorama returns. And so these are things that as it was, so shall it be. All right, so here's number one, business as usual. People just carrying on with their normal daily routines. And that's the way in which we're living today. We can come to church here on Sunday, and then when we leave here, we are going to carry on with our normal daily routines. Now, you may be sitting there saying, well, Jay, why wouldn't we? Well, yes, we certainly need to. I'm not recommending or suggesting that, hey, since Jesus Christ is coming back soon, which, by the way, I believe that with every ounce of my being. And you'll understand that over the next 3 weeks, that I do believe that with every ounce of my being. Now, I'm not suggesting that since Jesus Christ is coming back soon, why don't we just all go up to one of the high hills here in Missouri somewhere and wait and look for the Lord's return. I'm not suggesting that at all, and nor do I think the Bible would imply that for us to do that. But the fact of the matter is, some of us will go through our normal routine of showing up at church on Sunday morning, and then we're going to go to back to our daily routines. Listen to this. Oblivious. Say that word with me. Oblivious. Oblivious to the coming destruction. Noah built the ark in plain view. You talk about a man that looked like a flaming idiot. Hey, what are you building? Big boat. Let me talk to you after work today, because I've got some oceanfront property in Colorado to sell you. Because that's basically where he was, not in Colorado. This guy, for over 100 years, was building that ark in plain view. And I'm just saying to you that the people went about their daily routines oblivious to the coming destruction, going on with life oblivious to the potential return of Christ today. As it was, so shall it be. Here's number two. Enjoyment of the short-term pleasures of sin. Enjoyment of the short-term pleasures of sin. That's Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. People spend all their time, their thoughts, their dreams focused on finding new ways to enjoy the short-term pleasures of sin. And sin's pleasurable. Have you discovered that? Oh, it is. It is. But the Bible says the pleasures of sin are but for a season. But that's the way we are today. People can't get enough of the short-term pleasures of sin. All right, here's number three. Every inclination was evil. People were engulfed in evil thinking. I don't know about you, but I find that that's the way it is today. You don't have to listen to the news very long at any time during the day. You don't have to pick up the newspaper and read very many articles to discover that that's the way our culture is. That's the way the world is. And that's the way the United States culture is. That's the way our society is. That every inclination is, in fact, evil. Engulfed in evil thinking, murdering, adultery, fornication, thievery, lying, blasphemy, on and on. That has engulfed our culture. Now, what do I have for you there? I've got Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, and Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. All right, here's number four. Overindulgence in toxic foods. Kay and I, as I mentioned earlier, we've done a lot of traveling. And you know what? When we go to some of these third world countries especially, but almost every country we've been in, here's something that early on in our travels, as we're walking through or rushing through at an airport, I made a comment to Kay. I said, you know what? You don't see very many overweight people here. As I'm trying to go. And that's something we've noticed throughout the world. But not so in America especially. And other affluent countries. There's an overindulgence in toxic foods. People were gluttonous, overweight, obese, with out-of-control appetites. Matthew chapter 24. Here's number five. Overindulgence in intoxicating drink. Matthew chapter 24. I've told you that one of the things that I am engaged in is dealing with a drug and alcohol rehab ministry there in Branson with 250, catch that number, 250 residential beds. And in their pier houses in which they live, there's a zero tolerance regarding drug and alcohol use. Zero tolerance. One of the reasons there's a zero tolerance is that if they are forced to leave that house and give up their bed, the fact of the matter is there's probably six people standing on the front porch wanting their bed. And that's in Branson, Missouri. And they're all over the country, places like that. And the abuse of drugs and alcohol is rampant. Rampant, say that word. Rampant. Even in Mountain Grove, Missouri. Number next, what am I ready for here? Six, unfaithfulness in marital relationships. We're talking about as it was, so shall it be. Unfaithfulness in marital relationships. People had no regard for proper marital relationships. Multiple marriages. Marriage for convenience. Shacking up, unfaithful, perverted relationships. I had someone, I've had this said to me more than once, unfortunately, over the years, when I've said to somebody, are you guys shacking up? And I've had people say, well, Jay, you need to understand that we're just doing this because of the tax structure that we both find ourselves in. And it's a problem that the government has with regard to Social Security and with regard to the tax structure. So I've said, you want me to pat you on the back for that? I don't give a rip about what the Social Security or tax structure is. You've just explained to me what your moral stance is. And it's immoral. Number seven, perversion of sound reasoning. Noah's day was a time of perversion. Perversion spiritually, perversion sexually, and perversion philosophically. And you'll get that from Genesis chapter 4. Go back and read that chapter. I'm giving you that as a reference for a lot of things, which lets us know as it was. Now, here's number 8. Prosperity prevailed. Wow, that's the way it is today. Noah's day was a time of prosperity. You'll get that from Genesis chapter 4. Specifically, study about Jabal, J-A-B-A-L. Study him and his life. And then number 9, enamored with entertainment. Is that not a picture of the 21st century? Enamored with entertainment. Noah's day was a time of great entertainment. Genesis chapter 4. Now study about Jabal's brother, Jubal. J-U-B-A-L. Number 10, progressive development technologically. Noah's day was a time of amazing progressive development from a technical standpoint. That's Genesis chapter 4. Specifically, study the life of Tubal-Cain. You'll see him identified there. Tubal-Cain. Number 11, disregarded God's will. Noah's day was marked by lust and a disregard for God's will and polygamy and open sin and perversion. Genesis chapter 4, specifically look at the life of Lamech. And then number 12, filled with pride. Noah's day was characterized with pride. Genesis chapter 4, once again, study the life of Lamech. Now, pride is phenomenally blatant in the 21st century. Pride's blatant in our lives. So many of us. Pride is blatant in this church. I've been here hanging out with you for a year. Pride and independence, an independent spirit that permeates this church. If I had to put my finger on the pulse of a spirit that's damaging the First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove, Missouri, it's the spirit of pride and independence. Be glad to visit with you personally about that if you'd like. Begin to pray about that, because you see, a new pastor's coming. And he doesn't need to walk into a church that's loaded with pride and independence. The man of God that God's chosen will soon be here. And together, you need to walk that faith journey. And if you're puffed up with pride, and especially if you're engulfed with an independent spirit, that'll create some problems down the road. You ever had problems here? Just asking. All right, you're ready for, what are we ready for? Number three. Point number three. Here we go. I've talked to you about the prophecy revealed and the panorama returns as it was. What? So shall it be. As it was, so shall it be. And now here's number three, the preaching of righteousness. The preaching of righteousness. Now, first of all, let's look at the man. And I don't think I've got this on PowerPoint, but go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 6, and let's look once again with verse 8. But Noah found what? Grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now listen, this was at a time, do you understand that this was at a time when it grieved God's heart that he had even created man. And so he said, I'm going to have to start over. But Noah did what? Found grace. Found favor with God. Of all the known world at that time, of all that God had created, there was one man that stood out as righteous. Noah is the one that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, here's another passage. Go back to 2 Peter. I don't know if we read this earlier, but 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And look what it says there. And God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. Look at this. A preacher of righteousness. Say that term with me. A preacher of righteousness. So what is this man that we're looking at in this sermon today? Well, this is Noah, who found favor or who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he was a preacher of what? Righteousness. Listen, in this day and age, there are few, few preachers who have the guts to stand in the pulpit and preach righteousness. And you're going to have a man of God who will do that. And one of the reasons I know that is because that's what I've been praying for, and that's what you've been praying for. You need a man of God that will stand in the pulpit and preach righteousness. Now, we don't like that. And there's another passage in Scripture that says in the last days there will be people that will look for preachers that just tickle their ears. Because we like to come to church and we like to feel good when we leave. Now, don't misunderstand me. I like to feel good. But you know the way to get to feeling good? It's like when I go to the dentist. Oh, just a moment. Let me cringe. Do you like to go to the dentist? Go like this. No. Matter of fact, I've got such a good dentist. I really do. I've got such a good, gentle dentist. I told him one day, I'm sitting there in the chair and I said, man, you're disgusting, Doc. He looks at me and says, why? I said, because you're so gentle. When I leave here, I can't really justify complaining about you. Because I could tell you some horror stories growing up. I don't mind telling you. But you know something I discovered about going to the dentist? How many of you have ever in your life had a toothache? I'm talking about a genuine toothache. Let me see. All right, let's all together go. Oh! It just ain't nothing happy about a toothache. You know the person that I just genuinely love when I got a toothache? My dentist. My dentist. Why is that? Because I go to the dentist when I got a toothache. And I walk away and I don't have a toothache. Because that dentist took care of it. So you want to feel good when you come to church? Take care of the sin ache in your life. That's why you need a preacher that'll preach righteousness. That's why Noah was that type of person. He preached righteousness so that the world around him could hear that and hopefully would respond to that. But they didn't. We'll see that here in just a moment. They didn't. So what kind of a man do we have? Well, we had a man that found grace in God's eyes, favor in God's eyes, and we had a preacher of righteousness. So what was his message? That's the second thing. What was his message? Well, first of all, the whole of society was evil. The whole of society was evil. Go back again to Genesis chapter 6. This time, look at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The whole of society was evil. And I'm telling you, that's where we're headed to in the 21st century. The whole of society, the bulk of society, was evil. Secondly, there's only one way to be saved. That was his message. There's only one way to be saved. Go back with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter this time, chapter 3. I don't think I've got that on here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. Chapter 3, verse 20. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. So now listen, if you were alive in Noah's day and you saw him working on that big ship, and you probably went down to the coffee shop and said, man, that idiot, that fool goes out there day after day after day and he hammers away and he works on that ship. He works on that boat. He's calling it an ark. Haven't ever heard of an ark. Haven't ever needed an ark. Haven't ever needed a boat. I know Jim and Jim can't really imagine that somebody wouldn't need a boat. But man, they didn't even need a boat. They didn't even know what a boat was. And here's this idiot out there building this huge boat for over 100 years. And not only that, he's preaching righteousness. He's telling people that there's going to be a day when you're going to need to get in this boat. Well, I'm telling you today that there is a day, and it's today that you need to get in the ark of safety, and that's none other than Jesus Christ, because he is the only way to salvation. And back in Noah's day, there was only one way for salvation from the flood, my friend, and that was to get in the ark. And so his message, first of all, the whole of society was evil. And secondly, there's only one way to be saved. And thirdly, God will bring judgment. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Steve Blackwelder was talking about this chapter today in Sunday school. Hebrews chapter 11. And look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, look at this, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So what was Noah's message? God will bring judgment. Say that statement with me. God will bring judgment. That message is the same today. God will bring judgment. There's only one way to be saved from that. That's to be in the ark. And the ark, my friend, is Jesus Christ. He's the only way. And we're living in a day where the whole of society is evil. Here's the last thing I want you to see, and that's the proper response. The proper response. Matthew chapter 24, verse 39. Matthew chapter 24, verse 39. And that's the next verse from what we read this morning. Now look at this. Let me reread verses 37 and 38. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Verse 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, over the years, as Kay and I have prayed for different things, and some things have been really dire in our lives. I mean, there's been some circumstances and situations in our life when they were dire. Just different things. It might be a financial need, or it might be a family need, or it might be some decision we had to make. And I mean, we had to make it today. And something that Kay and I have looked at each other many times, and we've said this. You know, it seems like God takes his time to act quickly. I'm thinking, God, you knew that 2 weeks ago. How come I was pacing back and forth for the last 2 weeks? Why don't you let me know back then? Now you're probably saying, what's the matter, preacher? Lack of faith? Yeah, there's been that in my life. But it's grown. Oh, my faith's grown. But I still discover. And I think it's because God wants to just daily remind me of my dependence on him. I still discover that a lot of times God just takes his time to do something quickly. Now listen carefully. God has taken 2,000 years. And he's about ready to do something quickly. Noah took over 100 years to build this big ark. And then it started raining. Because God was getting ready to do something quickly. The people were not prepared for the suddenness of God's judgment. Now, let me say that again, because that's the way it is today. There are people here today, you're not prepared for the suddenness of God's judgment. They watched Noah and they heard him for over 100 years. Just like we have. I know we haven't been in church for 100 years. Some of you are thinking, wow, the way you preach, Jay, it seems like 100 years. But so many of us, we've been in church and in church and in church and in church, and you've heard Jay preach, you've heard Fred preach, you've heard Gene preach, you've heard others preach. Some of you listen on TV and radio, and you've heard sermons, haven't you? You've heard sermons. And yet so many times we just go on about our daily routine, oblivious to the fact that Jesus Christ and judgment is coming, and it is coming soon. Now let me tell you something. It's hard to get right with God when you're in a panic. And that's the way some of you are going to be caught. And I like the fact that Noah took his family with him. Have you done that? Have you gotten your family prepared? Have you gotten your family prepared? Here's these four things. Realize the reality. Realize the reality. If you think I'm just flapping my jaws because it's a good topic to bring about on a Sunday morning in a church, you're wrong. I'm preaching this sermon next Sunday and the following Sunday because I believe with every ounce of my being, my friend, that judgment is coming and is coming soon. Jesus is coming, and I believe he's coming soon. Realize the reality. Number two, recognize your need. Recognize your need. Are you ready? Is your house ready? Are you ready spiritually, or are you just going about your normal daily routines? Some of you aren't even saved. There are people here today, you're not even saved. You're not in the ark. You're not there. And I'm telling you, if it starts raining today, that door's going to be shut. And reread Genesis, my friend. God's the one that shut the door. And he's going to shut the door here soon. Number three, and here's a word nobody likes anymore in the 21st century, I've discovered, repent. Repent. Go back and read that passage we read earlier about the angels. Repent. That's the need of the hour. And then number four, return to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Some of you don't even have Jesus as your Lord. And many of you do, but some of you are going about your normal daily routines, oblivious to walking with Jesus Christ, oblivious to God's Word, oblivious to prayer, oblivious to God's will, oblivious to what God really wants to do in and for and through you in your life, and you need to return to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I would say this to you. You say, well, Jay, that doesn't give me much hope. Hey, I'm just delivering the message today. I'm just the messenger boy. Yeah, that wasn't my first job I had, but it was. I had a job doing that when I was just a kid. I used to ride my swin bike all over town. And I had it fixed up where my paper bag was right up here, and I could drive up into somebody's yard and reach in there and throw that paper out. You know, come to think of it, I've been delivering news for years and years and years. So that's what I'm doing this morning. I'm just delivering the news. Please don't come out and knock the kid on the bike over. Don't do that. pick up the news and read it. All right? And I will say this to you. Until it starts raining, there's still time. Let me pray with you. Father, your word's amazing. Your word is staggering. It is so accurate. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize the reality, to recognize our own personal needs, to repent, and to return to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now I'm going to encourage Christians to come and kneel on an altar of prayer. If you're right with God, then come and pray for those who aren't. Come and pray for your church. These are desperate days in which we live. I believe that. So I'm going to ask Christians to come and kneel on an altar of prayer and to pray for yourself. And if you need to get right with God, if you need to do some personal business, then come on and do that. But come to the altar today. Now, if you don't know Jesus, if you're not in the ark, my friend, it's beginning to rain. It is beginning to rain. And you'll see that over the next 2 weeks. Don't wait for that. Come now and say, Pastor, I need saved. I want to get in the ark. And there may be other decisions you need to make. We'll help you with those. But the greatest need is for you to be saved. And if you are saved, then come and do business with God today. And if you're all up to date, then come and pray for those who aren't. All right, stand together. Come on to the altar.
Give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus I surrender.
Are you saved? Are you saved?
Do you know it?
Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're in the ark?
Worldly pleasures,
are you living like it?
Forsaken,
are you living like it?
Jesus, take me now.
Noah was moved with fear.
I surrender.
Moved with fear when he got the word from God.
I surrender.
This was a man of righteousness, a man that found grace and favor in God's sight.
I surrender all to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
We're going to sing one more verse in just a moment. I can't help but think there's somebody here that needs Jesus. You're not in the ark. You're not in Jesus. You're not saved. You say, well, I'm going to think it over. Well, okay. All right. Now, the Bible says, boast not yourself of tomorrow. No man knows what a day may bring forth. I'm fine with you thinking it over. Don't misunderstand me. Because I'm not trying to talk you into anything. I learned a long time ago, if I could talk you into something, somebody else could talk you out of it. So I'm not trying to do that. I'm just delivering the goods. I'm just delivering the message. I'm just delivering the hope that can only come through Jesus Christ. Have you ever in your life placed your trust in Jesus Christ as your very own personal Savior? Have you become a follower of Jesus Christ? You say, well, if so-and-so over here is a Christian, I probably am too. Now, it's not, I'm a Christian by comparison. No, you're either a Christian or you're not. Jesus is the only one you look to as your example. Do you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? Greatest need of your life. We're going to sing again in just a moment. Now, Noah was the one that found grace and favor in God's sight. And yet we read the passage, I think it was in Hebrews, that said, man, he was moved with fear when he got the message from God to build this ark. That's something you don't hear about much anymore. No fear here. No fear here. You keep believing that, my friend. And when Jesus Christ shows up and you're not ready, you'll learn how to spell fear. Are you saved? Right, if you need to come to the altar, if you need to be saved, let us introduce you to Jesus. We're just going to sing just this one more verse. You come.
All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Thank you so much. Once again, you may be seated. And again, I thank you for your attentiveness. I'm excited about sharing these messages next Sunday, the beginning of sorrows, and then it looks like rain. Kim Welch is here with her new baby boy. That's exciting, isn't it? And so congratulations to them. And Tim Johnson is here. He didn't even have to fill out a visitor's card. Great to have you back here. Let's get Debbie a microphone, would you please? And Debbie wants to say thanks to you, all right?
Howdy. I just want to thank our church family for being with us. And I want to emphasize that if you don't know Jesus, you better meet up with him now. We had some crazy times living in a hospital for 22 days. And part of that, I'm going to share this, Tim. There was one night when he actually was seeing and fighting demons. I shout out a text to Jim, an SOS, and to some other folks, to my son and my daughter, to get some praying together. This was serious. And one, I could get Tim to, and a couple of nurses came in, too. We had some Christian medical staff. Praise God. Utter the name of Jesus. Just say Jesus. Just say the name of Jesus. Calm that came into that room. There's no words to express. Heart, and you know who he is, and you experience that power. There's nothing like it. And from that time on, believe it or not, when I get my little pity party going on, Tim is my rock. And he reminds me to call on the name of Jesus. So I want to thank this church family for prayer support, laughter, love, financial help, praise God, just for loving us up. It's an interesting, crazy journey we're on, and I know there are people in here, dear friends and family in Christ, who are going through similar journeys. And it seems like we're not really immune from cancer or any other illness or loss that happened. But when we remember who's in charge, we turn to God, and we know. We know how the story is going to end. And I want to thank you. I love you. We love you. We're just blessed. Thank you.
Amen. We love you and Tim. Our prayers are with you. You're not alone on this journey. Isn't it great to be a part of God's family? That's good. All right, look at the very bottom of your bulletin on the first page there where it says, Let's Change Mountain Grove. I forgot to mention that to you last week. All right, let's stand together, get your change, get your change. And we've got a, go ahead and stand up. We've got a big 5-gallon jar out in the foyer. And this is all going to help us as we impact Mountain Grove. So let's say that with me. Let's change Mountain Grove. Now let's do this. Let's Mountain Grove. All right? So get it in your hand. Here we go. Let's
change
Mountain Grove. All right. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. James Broom is one of our deacons, and Randy Reed over here. I appreciate these men. James, come on up here, would you please, and lead us in prayer. Join us tonight. Nehemiah will be here with us, and we're studying Nehemiah. Great, great book. And so join us at 6 o'clock for that.